Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Nehemiah. It's on page 514, and we read selected verses from Nehemiah 8, verses 1 through 10. All the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they had heard, on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women, and those who could understand. The ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And they read from the book, from the law of God, clearly. And they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said it to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to the Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It's found on page 1227. And we read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1099, and we read Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him, and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, and to reread just a small portion. Jesus is speaking. "And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their own town was built, so that they could throw him off the cliff." This is our text. Managing expectations. Not always an easy thing to do. Talked to you many times before about managing our own expectations of ourselves. We've used the phrase regarding your vocation. God has put us in certain places in life. And we do our best when we take the gifts that God has given us and understand our right place in life. Focus on the things that are our job and don't worry about the things that aren't. Managing expectations for ourselves. But we also have to rightly manage our expectations of others, and in particular, based on our gospel lesson for today, our expectations of God. And sometimes we are just lousy in terms of what we expect of others, including God. And to illustrate that, I brought with me today a collection of 911 calls. Just to illustrate how foolish we can sometimes be. In terms of what we expect from a telephone number that's supposed to be for emergencies. 911, what's your emergency? How do I get the cranberry sauce out of the can without it coming out in chunks? It was a very gracious 911 staffer that day. She actually told her, "I didn't know this. You open up the other end," in case you've ever had that problem. But don't call 911 over it, please. 911, what's your emergency? A deer just swam across the river behind my house. Is the deer drowning? No, it got out of the river, but I think it's cold. These are real 911 calls, my friends. 911, what's your emergency? I just got out of gym class and I'm looking out the school window and there's a squirrel on top of a telephone pole. And it's not coming down. 911, what's your emergency? I'm at a restaurant and they're telling me I have to pay an extra 50 cents for the ranch dressing. Sounds foolish, doesn't it? But sometimes aren't we not foolish with God and the things that we ask of Him? In our epistle lesson for today, it talked about how God made us different. Using the language or the illustrations of the human body, would it not be foolish for an eye to be upset because it wasn't an ear? Would it not be upset or foolish for an ear to be upset that it wasn't an eye? But how often do we complain to God about the way He has made us? Especially sometimes in our youth. Well, we look at others and some of the gifts that they have or the way that God fashioned them. It seems in our culture today it's being taken to new extremes where people are made male or female according to God. And yet all around us there are individuals that are dissatisfied with the way they are made and want to become something else, and no doubt would like God's help in achieving that. As Jesus was in His own hometown, they were looking at Him and expecting Him to do the miracles that He had done elsewhere in front of them. And when He said He wasn't going to do that, they were so angry. They wanted to kill the Son of God right then and there. Well, eventually, Christ would give His life. But that was not the time and the place. And the problem was they were expecting God to behave in the way they wanted Him to behave, and not based on who He is and what He wants to do for us. Yes, Jesus could heal blind people. Yes, he could make the lame walk, but he didn't make every blind person in Israel capable of seeing during his earthly ministry. He didn't heal every lame person that was in Israel during his earthly ministry. There was a plan and a purpose for the things God did. His plan, his purpose, not ours. I think the best illustration of it is that time when he's leaving the temple, nearing the end of his earthly ministry. And the disciples come across a man who was blind from birth. We don't know precisely how old he was, but let's say he was 20 or 30 years old. And the disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They thought they had everything figured out the way God worked. And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents has sinned, but that the glory of God might be revealed in his life. Now, this particular blind man was healed. And he gave great testimony to all that he came across regarding the grace and the mercy that he found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And ultimately, that's what it's all about. How we bear witness in our lives with the gifts that God has given us to the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes God doesn't use what the world would describe as great attributes to accomplish that. Sometimes he accomplishes it through trial and trouble and even weaknesses. When you're working that job and your boss has been a grouch that day, and internally you're going, yes, this is miserable. And then maybe a coworker comes up and says, you know, why aren't you griping about this? Why are you putting up with that? Wow, what an opportunity to say something like, this is what God has called me to. Because my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, suffered unjustly for me. They asked. They gave you the opportunity. And you rightfully bore witness to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But not through something that the world prizes, but through something that the world abhors: injustice, unfairness. When you express the hope of eternal life, when your earthly life is slipping away, when you give above and beyond to help out someone, when nobody expected you to, when you are content and troubles and trials. And people come up to you and say, why aren't you worried? And you say, because my Lord has it all in his hands. And I know that ultimately he will deliver me. In whatever time and place we find ourselves, God has a plan and purpose. It's not our earthly comfort. It's not to take all the troubles and trials that sin in this world brings about. His purpose is not to take that away from our earthly life. His ultimate plan for you and me is to bring us home to heaven. That plan also includes leaving us here for a little while so that we can bear witness to him. with the gifts that He has given us in the places where He has placed us. What should we be expecting from God? No more and no less than what He has promised us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To forgive us our sins, to bring us to everlasting life, and to use us as His witnesses in this world with the gifts that He gives and in the places where He's placed us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.